topic of our joint work together with Dr. Thomas Wolf from Brook University. And it's well known that the standard Poisson brackets in the rigid body dynamic is not canonical, but this one. So we have six dynamical variables. Actually, they are three component vectors, M and gamma. And this is a canonical Poisson brackets between the generators. Here, epsilon is skew symmetric tensor. It means that this is plus or minus 1 if all I, j, k are different, and 0 if some of them coincide. And what else? Kappa is a parameter. This is linear Poisson brackets. We have linear function here. And it's well known that for any linear Poisson brackets, say x, y, x, j equals to c, I, j, k, x, k, this is linear Poisson bracket. This is really bracket if and only if this is a structure constant of a Lie algebra. That's why for linear Poisson brackets we use names of Lie algebras. And for this Poisson bracket, three different situations exist. First, kappa is greater than zero, kappa equals to zero, and kappa is less than zero. And these three situations corresponds to S of 4 Lie algebra in this sense. S of 4, E3. E3 means the Lie algebra of transformation of Euclidean space, and this is SO31. This is degenerate bracket. It has two Casimir functions. And we see that if kappa is greater than zero for SO4 case, the levels of the Casimirs are compact because kappa is positive. For negative kappa, this is clearly non-compact the surfaces. Okay. Now we have six dynamical variables and we have two Casimir functions. And we have a Hamiltonian. It means that for the Liouville integrability, we need only one extra constant of motion, first integral, which functionally independent to Hamiltonian and our Casimir's functions. Okay, and also we have some linear transformations which preserve our Poisson brackets. Actually, this is six-parameter family of such transformations. But for me, it will be important only these three-parameter family of transformation. We make orthogonal transformation for M and for gamma with the same orthogonal matrix T. Okay, so this is our Poisson bracket. I will keep it here. Now about the Hamiltonians. We consider the general Hamiltonians, quadratic Hamiltonians. This is nothing but general quadratic polynomial of six variables M, I, and gamma I. This is quadratic part, and we have also linear part. Without loss of generality, we think that A and C are symmetric matrices, and B is some 3x3 matrix constant, all of them. And P and Q are constant vectors. And first, let me show you several slides about history of the problem. The most classical situation is E3 brackets, kappa equals to zero. In this situation, we have two classical problems in the rigid body dynamics. The most famous is the motion of rigid body around fixed point, and the second is a Kirchhoff model for rigid body in the ideal fluid. In this case, we have only this term and this term. They are zeros. And for the Kirchhoff model, we have arbitrary homogeneous Hamiltonian. No these terms. Sometimes they also appeared and they play some role, but for the Kirchhoff model, the homogeneous Hamiltonian is important. Okay, and if kappa is not zero, first of all, we have so-called Poincaré model of motion of a rigid body with some ellipsoidal hole filled with liquid. And also there are some strange ideas about the Kirchhoff model. It turns out that in this case, kappa play a role of the curvature. If we have a flat space, we have a Kirchhoff model on the normal Euclidean space. But for kappa positive or negative, the homogeneous Hamiltonian describes the motion of rigid body in the space of constant curvature. Maybe it's not physically interesting, but so let me show you very quickly some classical integrable cases. In the first problem, we have the following well-known integrable cases. This is Hamiltonian with the additional integral of first order, linear additional integral. The earlier case has an additional quadratic integral. And the most tricky case is Kovalevsky case of this form with the additional integral of fourth degree. And it's well known that there are several theorems. For example, it's known that no more integrable case, I will use the word integrable. In my talk, it will mean that our Hamiltonian has one extra additional polynomial integral. I will speak only of polynomials. And for example, it's known that this is only three polynomial, only three integrable cases in this sense. No other Hamiltonians of the above type. And about the Kirchhoff models, there are also several classical, maybe here it would be better to keep the Hamiltonian. Let me. Okay. This is our Hamiltonian. So I claim that if these three terms disappear, the only three integrable cases are Lagrange, Euler, and Kovalevsky. And now I am speaking about the case where P and Q are equals to zero. In this case, there are several classical integrable cases. But for all these classical integrable cases, all three matrices A, B, and C are diagonal. And here you can see first the Kirchhoff integrable case with linear integral, and two classical cases with quadratic integral. The Clebsch case, here all relations for matrices, diagonal matrices A, B, and C are presented, and this is Hamiltonians. And the next one, different one, with a quadratic integral is so-called Stiklov Lyapunov case, here some different relations. Again, A is arbitrary diagonal matrix, but B and C are related with A by these expressions. Okay, but this is much more difficult problem. The number of parameters in general is how many? 6 plus 6 plus 9. And that's why we have no complete description of integrable cases till now. For example, the following theorem is correct. If A, B, and C are diagonal, this is, of course, assumption. And also, if all eigenvalues of A are different, then only these three integrable cases exist. But what about non-diagonals A, B, and C, or some coincidences here? Unexpectedly, recently I found a new integrable case for the Kirchhoff problem. The Hamiltonian is given by this formula where U and V are arbitrary vectors. The only condition is that they are perpendicular. And this is not a contradiction to a previous theorem, first, because the Hamiltonian is not diagonal. These terms show us that B is not diagonal. And also, if we calculate the eigenvector and eigenfunctions for the quadratic part for matrix A, we will see that two of them coincide. Actually, this is a very natural analog of Kovalevsky case, but for the Kirchhoff problem. Also, it has an additional integral of fourth degree, and here you can see one of the possible forms of this additional integrals. In this form, we see that I is a product of some linear factor P and some cubic expression here. Also, there exists some non-homogeneous generalization of this Hamiltonian. We can add to this Hamiltonian such linear terms. And the Hamiltonian, non-homogeneous Hamiltonian, still integrable. It still has a fourth degree integral. So this is the most generic type of such Hamiltonians for E3. Now, several words about K is not equal to zero. There are also several classical integrable cases, and also for these classical integrable cases, A, B, and C are diagonal matrices. There is a case with linear integral. I will call it Poincaré model. There are two classical cases by Fram, Schottky, and Stiklov with a quadratic additional integral. It was proved by these authors that no more integrable cases with additional quadratic integral, and also some non-trivial example of such Hamiltonian, homogeneous Hamiltonian, for kappa is not equal to zero, was found independently by Adler and van Merbeke and Semyonov, Tenshensky, and Raymond. And this example also possess a fourth degree additional integral. And for all these examples, matrices A, B, and C are diagonal. So probably the first example of non-diagonal Hamiltonians you can see here. So this is it looks very similar to the previous one, and we also can see additional term with kappa. if kappa is zero, it coincides with the previous example of non-diagonal Hamiltonians for E3 case. So we see that there exist non-diagonal integrable Hamiltonians, and the goal of our study is to investigate the following class of non-diagonal Hamiltonians. What we have here arbitrary quadratic path in momentum, but very specific matrix B. Here we have a vector product between M and gamma and scalar product with some constant vector B. This is the quadratic part and general linear part also. If you remember, my previous first example belongs to this class. But I would say after some transformations. In the first time it was found in a different form, but after that we realized that exactly this and that is very interesting for search of integrable models. I will show you several new integrable models with kappa equals non-zero of this type, homogeneous and also with linear additional terms. Let's start with second example of this kind. It turns out that this homogeneous Hamiltonian has a fourth degree additional integral. Here V and Z are arbitrary constant vectors. Eta is related with kappa by this formula. And this is a short formula for additional fourth degree integral. Again, we see that this is a product, and here we have a linear factor, a different, but also some linear factor in the additional integral. About this example, it's possible to derive this example from a general scheme by Sklenin. I'm speaking of a so-called quadratic Poisson brackets, reflection Poisson brackets. But in the explicit form, it was presented only recently, maybe independently by Tsiganov and myself, but this is something from this general Sklenin scheme. And again, of course, it has the same form, and I will show later which linear terms can be added to this example. So in two previous examples, we have linear factors in the additional integral of motion. So let's first investigate, this is very simple investigation, when our, now I would like to keep here my class of Hamiltonians, where such Hamiltonians, homogeneous, has a linear factor. The correct definition is we shall call such factors by partial integrals. This is the definition. The polynomial calls not integral of motion, but partial integral if the commutator of Hamiltonian and this polynomial is not zero, but proportional to this polynomial again, where P is some different polynomial. From the dynamic point of view, it means that if we impose these conditions for the initial data, for evolution preserves this constraint. And why such objects are related to the real integrals? Only because if we have two such partial integrals with the same Q, but with the different sign here, that obviously the product of them is a real first integral. And this is just what we have, for example, here. Both these factors are linear and cubic partial integrals for this Hamiltonian. Okay. Now I want to formulate the results of this simple classification when this homogeneous model has linear partial integral. It turns out that there are two different possibilities, and from first possibility this interesting formula comes. Here B is the same vector as here, lambda is some mu constant vector, and C1 and C2 are scalar constants. For arbitrary B, lambda, C1 and C2, this Hamiltonian has a linear partial integral. And only if lambda is proportional to M, or we can say lambda equals to M, only in this case this partial integral is a real linear integral. So we have here subclass with linear additional integral of motion. So this is the first interesting family of the Hamiltonians, which comes from this simple investigation. And second possibility give us just exactly these two previous examples I already shown you. Okay, but now I want to play a little bit with this class of Hamiltonians. So the result is two cases I already shown, and also this family of Hamiltonians, and now I want to investigate some integrable cases from this subclass. It also has many free parameters, this, this, and lambda. Okay, next two examples give us two integrable cases of this kind with special C1 and C2. In this case, C1 is 1 and C2 is minus 1. But what's also important and what's also strange, some additional restriction for vector lambda. It was not arbitrary constant vector, but it coincides to this condition. The length of this vector, square of the length, is equal to minus kappa, where kappa is a constant from the Poisson brackets. Only under this condition, this Hamiltonian is integrable, and this is the integral of motion. Because of this formula, we see that kappa is negative, and this is actually example for SO3 integrable model. The next integrable model of the same kind, again, this, I don't know why, but this is important, and this restriction also must be fulfilled for this Hamiltonian. In this case, this is 1 minus 2, again, this condition, and the additional integral is cubic. So probably the first example of integrable models with cubic additional integral. Again, this is integrable model for SO3 Poisson brackets, if we are speaking about real situation. For complex situation, of course, they are equivalent. And now I want to find all possible examples of this kind. They are similar, only constants are different. Now I speak about version of Penn-Levet test. I want to apply the so-called Kovalevsky-Lipunov test to find all integrable models of this kind. And in this situation, I will explain why this test is extremely efficient, and it gives me the complete list of integrable models of this kind, and among of them a new integrable case with additional integral of 6 degrees. I think it's also new and first example where the additional integral for such Poisson brackets has a 6 degree. So let me now say several words about Kovalevsky-Lyapunov test. Suppose we have a nonlinear homogeneous dynamical system where f is quadratic. It's clear that we have several solutions of this kind. We substitute this and find vector k, constant vector k, from the algebraic systems of equation. Now we call this solution, such solutions, Kovalevsky solution. It's a common name in the community where Pendlivet approach is usual thing. So we take such solutions and we linearize our nonlinear equation on this solution. Of course, for psi, we get a linear system of this form, where S is some constant matrix, and this constant matrix, of course, depends on the solution. Now we consider the eigenvalues of this matrix A. They are related to the possible powers of T in the solutions for the solutions of this linear model. So k are in some sense minus k or 1 minus k is a so-called Kovalevsky exponent for the Kovalevsky solution x naught. And now what is the Kovalevsky test for integrability? According to this Kovalevsky test, all Kovalevsky exponent for all Kovalevsky solutions must be, after that, some discussion. The usual assumption is that they are integers. Of course, all these assumptions are related to the properties of the general solution. If the general solution of our nonlinear dynamical systems is, say, meromorphic, in this case, all Kovalevsky solution exponents must be integers. But sometimes the general solution has a branching point. That's why the most general assumption for the Kovalevsky-Lyapunov test is that all Kovalevsky exponents are rational. But for me, it does not matter, because I have one essential parameter in this formula. What do I mean? Given C1, let's fix C1 and C2. They are fixed. After that, how many essential parameters we have here? We have two vectors, B and M, and the length of both of these vectors can be normalized. B is can be normalized by scaling, and we also have these remarkable relations between lengths of lambda and kappa from the Poisson brackets. We assume that this is also this is also our assumption. This formula normalized as the length of lambda. B can be normalized by scaling. So we have the only one invariant with respect to orthogonal transformations. We have orthogonal transformations for both M and gamma. The only one invariant is really angle between B and lambda. So this is one parametric family of Hamiltonians for given C1 and C2, and we want that they are integrable for any value of this parameter. After that, the Kovalevsky-Lyapunov test becomes very efficient. Why? Because if we have one parametric solution, one parametric family of integrable models, what we can say about the Kovalevsky exponent. From one side, we see that this exponent in general depends on the parameter. From the other hand, we know that it must be a rational number. The only possibility is that the Kovalevsky exponent for one parameter families does not depend on parameter at all. So you find all Kovalevsky solutions, find Kovalevsky exponent, and the fact that they do not depend on the parameter give you a very rigid integrability conditions, you immediately get the result. And in this situation, the result is the following. Rather interesting list of examples. This is a trivial example with linear integral, okay. This is two examples with quartic and cubic integrals I already shown. This is new, and we verified that this Hamiltonian has a 6-degree additional integral. And this is mysterious one. We check that this Hamiltonian, for this Hamiltonian, all Kovalevsky exponents are integers. But we also checked the additional integrals by computer, and we proved that no additional polynomial integrals for this model up to degree 8. So that is the result of our Pinlevé analysis. And now some classification results. So let me show you this Hamiltonian with 1 and minus 1 half. Again, these conditions. Nobody knows why. And under this condition, it has a 6-degree additional integral with a factor, linear factor to the power 2. So this is, and probably the Lux pair for this model is related somehow to the Lie algebra J2. I can say you why, because if we look at the total lattices, they are not polynomial, but they are polynomial in momentum. Only for J2 Lie algebra, the corresponding total lattice has a 6-degree additional integral. So I think this is something polynomial related to J2. Okay, and now what I want to say, first of all, I want to show you a possible linear terms. Before we had the polynomial homogeneous integrals, but it turns out that for all these examples, such different linear terms are available. If we add such terms, the non-homogeneous integral has an additional integral of the same degree as the homogeneous one. So this is general models. And also there are one more interesting model. It looks a little bit different, but again, we have the same mysterious relations for a constant vector. So this is the generic form of Hamiltonian with linear integral of motion for arbitrary C1 and C2. But sometimes it could be that for some special C1 and C2, this Hamiltonian is superintegrable. It means that it has not only linear integral, but also some additional integral of degree, say, 3, 4, 5, who knows. But in this case, if we find such pairs C1, C2, we will have the Hamiltonian with 5 polynomial integrals. This is just the definition of superintegrability. And it turns out that there exists only one such super integrable Hamiltonian with 1 and minus 1 half shear. It has not only linear additional integral, but also integral of degree 4. And just this model, again, here we had no this restriction, but for superintegrability, we need not only 1 and minus 1 half, but also this strange normalization condition. And we can add to this homogeneous Hamiltonian the following linear paths. So this is our, how to say, zoo of integrable cases. And now we are almost sure that this is really complete list of all integrable cases for such type Hamiltonians with maybe linear terms. Why? Because we make a very long and difficult computation by computer. I will say several words about this. And we found that among of the generic Hamiltonians of this form, B is not zero in our investigation, only the above models, 6 homogeneous or and 7 inhomogeneous different models, has the polynomial integrals up to degree 8. And no restrictions at all, no restrictions of this sort, it's a general statement. We consider all such Hamiltonians for real Hamiltonians, for arbitrary matrix A, arbitrary non-zero vector B, and arbitrary vectors K and N constant. And we search for polynomial integrals by computer. And the result is only the above examples. Of course, it would be very nice to prove this statement rigorously. I mean, to prove that, who knows, maybe one of such Hamiltonians has additional integrals of 20 degrees. But probably it's possible to prove using by the usual Penleve analysis, and this is a good problem for my test. And maybe one can use the method of something like Zieglin used the splitting of the separatrice. But this is open problem to prove that this is really all integrable cases. Now we only can claim that no polynomials integrals up to this degree. Okay, and now about the proof, about the computation, several words. It's very important that we can normalize this Hamiltonian by orthogonal transformations. And the best way to do it is to normalize vector B. We have two ideas, to bring A to the diagonal form or B to some trivial, say, 0, 0, 1 form. It turns out that for computation, we must normalize B. We normalized it, so we have only first component of this product. And after that, we can kill also the product between M1 and M2. This is a canonical form of the Hamiltonian. And after that, we do very trivial things. We generate the general polynomial integral with undetermined coefficients. We commute this with that. We get very huge bilinear, non-linear, but bilinear system for both coefficients of the Hamiltonians and the coefficients of integral. Look, if m is degree of h is equal to 6, this bilinear system contains 800 equations and 460 unknowns. So it's really huge terrible system of nonlinear equations, and for m equals to 8, this is the number of equations and unknowns. And it turns out that it's possible to solve such systems by computer. We used for this the specialized package by Thomas Wolff. The name of this package is CREC. Surely, if you will try something standard like Grodner Basis technique from Mathematica, Maple, it's impossible to solve such big systems of nonlinear equations. Only, say, 10 or 20 unknowns are available for this technique. But this specialized package CREC can do it if not automatically, but maybe I can say several words about problems here. And if you want to know more about CREC, probably you can ask the author of this program. But what is the problem? We have a big over-determined algebraic systems, and all we can do actually is elimination of unknowns by substitutions, or factorization if we have some factorizable equations, factorization and different branches. Also, we can do some equivalent transformation like linear combination of equations, nothing more. But if we will do that by computer, we have two problems. If we will do only substitutions, surely as a result you will have a very long expression after several substitutions, and the computer shut down. If we take all factorizable equations and consider different branches, the number of branches becomes very big, and again some problems immediately, or not immediately, but after some steps arise. But the main problem is to find some good balance between these two problems, and to provide somehow the tools to minimize the growth here and here. And CREC has a lot of opportunities for such things. For example, this program is clever, so clever that he can estimate the result of the common substitution. Suppose a computer or we ourselves, there are two modes, interactive mode and automatical mode. Suppose we want to do such substitution. Before doing that, computer estimate how long will be expression after this substitution. A lot of such tricks implemented. And one can change the strategy in a different ways. And if you are lucky and you found a good strategy, the computation will go from the beginning to the end. And if it's so, it surely found all solutions of this problem. No solution missed. So this is the scheme of this business, and I would say that this theorem that only these seven integrable cases in this family exist cost a lot of efforts, but now we have some interesting experimental results. I would say that all this computation belongs to so-called experimental mathematical physics. But you know that before going to some theoretical investigations, such experimental theoretical considerations are very useful. I hope that after the several open problems to prove that this is the only integrable cases from our ansatz. Second is to find the last pairs, to find the separation of variables, all these problems looks interesting, and I think they will be solved in 1 or 2 years by different people. So that's... this is also open problem. Some of them, yes, but for most of them, it's open question. Probably, yes, I believe that they are integrable in all senses, also by Hamiltonian systems. No, there is a general scheme, and if and in this scheme some products of Lux operators are available. There are some natural Hamiltonian structure on the products of two differential operators of special kinds. And if you take these two operators equals with different potential and related to the SO3, you will give and do all needed tricks, you will give exactly this model, only one model I demonstrated. I cannot say that Sklenian scheme is adequate to this problem. There is intersection. This scheme gives us only one interesting example of such integrable models. And probably from the general Sklenian scheme one can extract somehow the bi-Hamiltonian structure. I think somebody knows how to do it. No, this is only some parallels. I told that Todde has a 6-degree integral, and I think that I believe that this 6-degree integral in momentum also related somehow to J2. Maybe there is very tricky transformations between Todde and this model, but certainly it's highly nonlinear transformations, and no scientific way to find such transformations at all. Usually, if you find the separation of variable for both model, and if you compare the separation of variable, you can find some nonlinear transformation. But this is the only real possibility to find such transformations.